Nehemiah chapter 9, if you turn there. We've been traveling through. We all have that traveling in us, and he calls us pilgrims and sojourners in this world, and we certainly see that with Nehemiah and the people as they've come back from captivity. Many of them never hearing the word, never hearing the cultures or the things that have been going on with Israel, and yet now in this place and learning and growing, just like you and I. We've come through this life, and now we've come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, and so we're learning as we go through what these things are in Scripture that He has for us. And we're never going to arrive till we get home, but we're learning always. So keep your hearts open to understand that we're here to learn. We're here to grow and to grow in grace and the knowledge of who He is, and to just grow in those places where He can speak to us, that we'd have hearts that would be open. And so in chapter 9, it says, "Now in the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting, with sackcloths and sackcloths, and earth upon them." So they're in this place where they're repenting. The custom was that they would just throw dirt up in the air and it would land on them, and that they would just be in these clothes that would just show that they're mourning over their sins, mourning over the places that they've been, mourning over the things that have grabbed a hold of their hearts, and that they're just repenting. That they just want to confess to the Lord these things that they've held against Him, as you and I should. Because we certainly go through those days and those times, don't we, where we get mad at God, we get mad at the things that are around us, we get upset with the ways that the world is going, we get upset with the laws and the rules that are coming about, and yet God wants us to have that heart that's pure and open and holy, and so we have to repent of those things, and thank goodness that He gives us that gift of repentance, that we can repent, and that there's forgiveness with that. Isn't that wonderful? Wouldn't it be awful to spend a whole lifetime repenting over sin and then finding out that He never forgave us? And yet His word is true. He says if we confess and repent, He's going to forgive us. That there's forgiveness with Him, it tells us in Scripture. And so we're just so thankful for that. And so it says, "And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers." And we see the separation that takes place between believers and unbelievers. We see that with us. We're here in church this morning. And the Bills fans are at the stadium having tailgate parties. You know, just what a difference of noise level. Certainly, they're worshiping their God, but we've got a better God. Their God might fail. Our God never fails. And we're just so thankful that we can be in this place, because we used to be just like them, worshiping our gods on Sundays and Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays and whatever days. But we get to worship our God every day, and we know He's faithful every single day. Not going to fail, not going to have good years and bad years. He's always faithful. He's always the same. There's no shadow of turning with Him. Always faithful and always true. And so Israel was separated from those that were strangers, and they confessed their sins and iniquities, and they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God, 1/4 part of the day. So 6 hours, they're reading the word. That's real convicting, isn't it? We don't have to go any further with that. 6 hours of the day, they read the word. Another 1/4 part of the day, they confessed. So another 6 hours. So half their day was spent reading and confessing. Amazing, isn't it? And we think we do well if we get 10 minutes in, right? And just, oh, Lord, help us. We've missed out so much. And then they stood up upon the stairs of the Levites, Jeshua and Bani and Kadmiel and Shebaniah and Bunny. I love that guy. And Sherebiah and Bani. I think they were twins, Bani and Bunny. And Chananiah, and cried with a loud voice unto the Lord their God. Then the Levites, Jeshua and Kadmiel and Bana and Hashbaniah and Sherebiah and Hadijah and Shebaniah and Pethiah, and said, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever, and blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise, his name above every name under heaven, his name worthy of being praised, worthy of being worshipped. We sometimes worship sports stars and people that we admire, you know, the kings and the queens of the world and those people that have an influence upon us. But there's one name above every other name, and his name is Jesus. And how much should we be exalting that name above every other name? And they said in verse 6, thou, even thou, art Lord alone. There's only one God, and we know who it is. You have made heaven, the heaven of heavens with all their hosts, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all. By him all things consist, it tells us in Colossians. He's the one that holds it together. He's the one that preserves everything. And all the host of heaven worshipeth thee. All the host of heaven, not just us, but the host of heaven is worshiping him too. And as you look at Revelation, it's amazing. You see the four beasts and the 20 and four elders, and they're always falling down before the Lord, worshiping him because he's worthy. We think if they're doing that, what should we be doing because of the forgiveness that we have? He's created us. He's made no mistakes in how he's created us. He's made no mistakes in dying for us, and shouldn't he be worshipped? So if you're feeling unworthy today, we are unworthy, but his sacrifice for us has made us worthy. And we're just so thankful that he made that sacrifice for us. And you just look back and remember and think about those things. If all the host of heaven can worship him, and he knows every star by name, he knows when a sparrow falls to the ground, what does he think about you and me? We're the crown of his creation, it tells us in Genesis. He says everything that he made was good, but when he gets to man, it said it was very good when he created man. And we go, boy, I don't feel that worthy today. And that's okay. It doesn't take away his thoughts about you. His thoughts about us are more than the sand of the sea. And if he thinks that much about you and cares that much for you that he would come and pay the ultimate price for you, how much love do you think he has for you? Oh, more love than we can imagine. And just think, one day soon, if he tarries, we're going to see him face to face. Can you imagine what we're going to do then? I look at the people in Scripture. I look at John when he wrote Revelation, and the Lord caught him up to heaven in the Spirit. And what did he do? Fell on his face before the Lord. You see Peter in the boat when he realized who he was, and he fell down and worshiped him. And we think we're just going to ask him all kinds of questions, you know? How come you put the stars where you did? We aren't going to ask anything like that. We're going to be too busy worshiping because he's the only one that's worthy. I'm just so thankful that he cares that much for us and cares that much for you. And he goes on in verse 7 and he says, thou art the Lord God who did choose Abram and broughtest him forth out of Ur of the Chaldees, this pagan worshiping man that he touched, that he ministered to, and brought him out of the Ur of the Chaldees, out of that place of pagan worship, into a place of walking with him. And it says, and he gave us him the name of Abraham. He changed his name. And you and I are going to have new names. It tells us in Scripture that when we get to heaven, he's going to give us a white stone with our new name on it. And what's your name going to be? I don't think there's a George and a Linda there, maybe. I don't know. But I think there might be a faithful, a reverent one. You know, what's he going to call us? What has he worked into you and I? He would even want to give us a new name that would be worthy of the character that he's putting into us, that he's imparting to us. And aren't you glad you have a God and that you know a God that imparts his love to your heart, to your life? What would we be if Jesus didn't interrupt our lives and show us his love for us? I know I'd be dead by now. But God, who's rich in mercy, wherewith he loved us, It's past tense. He's already loved us with everything he can give. There isn't an ounce of love that's going to be new for us. He's already loved us with everything that he is and everything that he had. You feel unworthy today. You feel hurt. You feel discouraged. Don't have to. You can be in that place of knowing that great love that he has for us right now and just stand in that and worship him, because he's the only one that's worthy. And these people are finally being taught that after 70 years of captivity, some of them born in Babylon, now come back. They have no idea what's going on. And all of a sudden they enter into these worship services. They see these things going on. They're hearing the word for maybe the first time, and it's just knocking them to pieces. And didn't the word do that to you when you finally found out that Jesus loved you and he interrupted your life and poured out his love for you, into you, and you realize that there was a God in heaven who loved you? Oh, all you can do is worship. You don't ask questions. You just say, thank you. Thank you for loving me and taking care of me. He gives Abraham a new name. He calls Abraham out, the first Hebrew, before the law was even given, and he chose him, and he found in verse 8 that he foundest his heart faithful. He called that man faithful. And because he was faithful, he just gave him that sense, that understanding that he was saved and he was going to find that eternal city. And he traveled. It says that he knew not where. We're kind of traveling through this world. We have no idea. Why did you bring us here for such a time as this? To show his glory in the midst of where we are. And it doesn't mean that everybody's going to receive it and people are going to be glad that we're here. They're not real excited that we're here. But God is. And he's ready to receive us home. He could come today. That would be okay. And he found his heart faithful before thee, and you made a covenant with him to give the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Girgashites, to give it, I say, to his seed. He was going to give it to us, and has performed thy words, for thou art righteous. Lord, you performed all the words that you said. You've given out all those things that you've said you were going to do. And Lord, you're the only one that can. Did you ever make a promise to your wife or your husband or your kids, and then you broke it? Oh, every day, right? It tells us this in Joshua chapter 23. It says this in verse 14. And it says, and behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All the good things. And everything that God says is good, because he's the only one that is good. And he's promised that he's not going to leave us or forsake us. And Joshua is saying, I'm leaving, but God is still going to be with you. He hasn't failed in anything. And he says, all these things are come to pass unto you, and not one thing has failed you. Not one thing that God has said has failed you. And boy, we sit here and sometimes we get mad at God and say, how come you failed me? You didn't give me what I wanted. And he goes, exactly, that's what you wanted. It isn't what I wanted for you. That's why it's so important for us to be walking in the Spirit, in that place where we're looking to him and not to what we want, but to what he has. Because we're not going to be satisfied when we don't get what we want, but we are going to be satisfied when we see what he wants. And eventually the folks here in Nehemiah are going to say the same thing. We're going to see that. We get so busy about what we want that we forget what he has for us. And it's so important to be walking in the Spirit so that we know that he's completing every good thing that he said that he was going to do in and through our lives. In verse 9 he says, and you did see the affliction of our fathers in Egypt, and heardest their cry by the Red Sea. As they cried out for deliverance, God delivered them. And you and I cried out for the same thing. Lord, I need to be delivered from myself, from my fears, from my anxiousness, from my loneliness, from my abuse. I need you to heal me from these things, Lord. And it says that he hears. Not only does it say that he hears, but in the Psalms it tells us that he inclines his ear to listen to us. Can you imagine the God of all the universe who could just speak a word and bring this world into existence bends his ear over like a dad would just to hear his kids? That's how sweet and precious he is to you. And he listened to them. Were they good people? That's why he listened to them? They were awful. They're just like us. And yet he listens to them. Were your kids always good? I doubt it. If you had kids like ours, they were. But what do? When they cry out to us, we bend over and listen to them. We pay attention to them. We look them in the face. We look them in the eyes. We see the hurt. And we want to hug them and take care of them. And we want to see them refreshed and encouraged. And to be the kids that they can be. And that's what he wants for you and I. That's why he hasn't left us or forsaken us. He wants to impart to us all those things so that we can be blessed people in this world so that we can show it to others. Why? So that we can be great witnesses, so we can get notches on our belt for people that we've led to the Lord? No. So that they can know the same God that we know. And isn't that what we do with our kids? We want them to be the best that they can be. We don't care if they get, they're all valedictorians. I'd like to have one, but that they'd all be valedictorians, but that they would know Jesus. It doesn't matter if they're a garbage man for Christ, as long as they're for Christ. It doesn't matter if they're a sports star, as long as they're a sports star for Christ. What matters with us is that they know the same God that we know, so that they can be the best that they can be. Colossians says, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. And that's what we want for our kids. That's what we want for each other. That's why we meet together, to encourage each other and to strengthen each other, just so that we can be in a place where we have that satisfaction of knowing that we're doing the very best that we can for Jesus, with each other, to be encouragers, to be the ones that strengthen each other, not to be the ones that rip each other down. Don't you know better? Do you want a spanking? Well, actually, no. Why would I want to get spanked? Come on. We want the very best for each other. To encourage, not to beat up each other. Not to be angry with each other. But to be so set free in Jesus because of the Spirit in us that we can always represent him well. And they go on in verse 10, and they said, and you showed signs and wonders upon Pharaoh and upon all his servants and upon all the people of his land, for you knewest that they dealt proudly against them. So didst thou get thee a name, as it is this day. And thou didst divide the sea before them, so that they went through the midst of the sea on dry land. Not only did they get to come across, they got to come across on dry land. And their persecutors thou threwest into the deeps as a stone into the mighty waters. He took care of their enemies. As they walked with him, he took care of their enemies. When they weren't walking with him, he gave them over to their enemies just to show them what they wanted wasn't good for them. But moreover, thou leddest them in the day by a cloudy pillar and in the night by a pillar of fire to give them light in the way wherein they should go. And we go, well, Lord, if it was the same today as it was then, we'd be a lot happier because we'd see the cloud moving by the day and we could follow it. In Rochester, you couldn't see it because it's all cloud. But at night with the fire, Lord, why don't you do the same thing with us? He's done something better. He's given us this Holy Spirit to lead us. We don't need the cloud. We don't need the fire, the pillar of fire. We need to know the Holy Spirit that's within us, leading us in the right way. Lord, help us to submit ourselves to that Holy Spirit, the wonderful Holy Spirit that God has imparted to us as we become saved. You came down also upon Mount Sinai and spake with them from heaven and gave us them right judgments and true laws and good statutes. Notice the adverbs before One part of grammar, they're in there. They're right, they're true, they're good. And you made them known. You gave us these things that are right and true and just, because God only does good things. And you made us known unto them thy holy Sabbath, thy time of rest, and commandest them by precepts and statutes and by laws and by the hand of Moses thy servant, and you gave us them bread from heaven for their hunger, and brought us them forth water for them out of the rock for their thirst, and promised them that they should go in and possess the land which they had sworn, you had sworn to their fathers to give them. He's promised, he's delivered. He said, the bread from heaven I poured out, the water out of the rock I gave to you. And so you see Jesus in the midst of that, Jesus who hasn't even come in these pages yet, but just that pre-incarnate appearing of Jesus for the people that were there. Because what did Jesus say in John chapter 10? I am the bread of heaven that's come down. And it tells us in Scripture that the rock that followed them in the wilderness was Christ. So the water out of the rock was just the pouring out of Jesus to the people that were before him. Just as he is now, he's pouring himself out for you and I to give us the very best, to walk in those truths, to be encouraged in our walk today. Certainly there's a lot of rotten stuff around us that hurts, and yet God is good. He's given us more time than what we deserve, but he's given us that time so that we can repent and turn and come to him and just walk with him in these days to represent him well. Look at verse 16, but they. You can put your own name in there because we're the same as Israel is. But they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks and hearkened not to the commandments. A hardened heart is never going to listen to the things of God. A stiff neck is never going to pay attention to the moving of the Spirit. It tells us this in Galatians chapter 5. It says, to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't get entangled again with those things that throw us into bondage. Don't go back to the drugs. Don't go back to the ways of thinking that we used to have. Instead, make your way new and fresh, and make your way fruitful in this world. But they refused to obey. It wasn't that they couldn't obey, because what do we do with God sometimes? Lord, it's too hard. I can't do it. It's not that we can't do it. It's that we don't want to do it. We've got to take the blame. You can't blame God for anything that goes on in your life. We blame ourselves, because we're the ones to blame. But we always need a scapegoat, don't we? And we want it to be God, because we don't want it to be us. I'm too proud to say that I've messed up. You can't blame it on God. And it's better to confess it now than to find out later that it was us. They refused to obey, neither were they mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them. Do you ever see the wonders of God in your life as you go through this life? We could see them every day. The wonders of new birth, the wonders of those babies, the wonders of creation, the wonders in the heavens. Just the other night, Mars, the most visible that it's going to be for another 3-4 years, and just seeing that bright thing just shining out with a little red tint in it, you know, man, we can see it with our eyes. One day we'll just fly by it sometime and just see. Can you imagine? There's wonders all around us. And we go, it's just been there. It's always been there. Right, but who put it there? It wasn't you and I, and it didn't evolve into that. It was what God created. And he did all that just to bless us. Did he need all that so he could make himself a bigger God? He's as big as he's ever going to get. He doesn't need any of that. This is just a blessing for us. Oh. And you look, and it just convicts me so much, because a lot of things I do is so that I can get praise from men, which should not be. Because if I'm not satisfied with my God, then I'm going to have to get it from somebody else. I'm going to have to get it from you and from others. But if we're satisfied with God, we don't need any of that. Just as God didn't need any praise, any worship from us about what he made, because he's done it for us, to show us his great power and his great love. Amazing stuff. I mean, did you ever think, with the snow come down, what's the first thing that we did? It's snowing. Hope I don't have to shovel. I don't want to go out. I got to put gloves on, got to put a coat on. Can't go out in shorts, can't go out in sandals. Well, you could, but it'd be pretty dumb. But just think, he's got treasuries of snow. Ever think of how big that is? Oh, my goodness. Where do you keep it, Lord? Can we see it someday? Just think of his wonders that are all around us, and yet we whine and complain about it. And yet he's told us in Scripture, I'm going to give you the seasons. Not because you deserve them, because the seasons came after sin entered in. He gave them to us just to show us again his power, his might, his love, and who he is. And instead we complain about him. One day we'll see. They refused to obey, neither were they mindful of the wonders that you did among them. But they hardened their necks, and so they hardened their necks, they couldn't see anything. And in their rebellion, they appointed a captain. They didn't like God being their captain, so they appointed another captain, an earthly captain. Because why? They wanted to go back to bondage. That's wisdom, huh? Come on! But you are a God ready to pardon. Even though they appointed somebody else to be their captain, it says that God said he was ready to pardon them for what they were doing. Oh, know that his mercy and his pardon is close to you today, and that he wants to forgive you. He's slow to anger, and he's of a great kindness. And he forsook us them not. He didn't leave them. Just like he tells us now that he's not going to leave us or forsake us. Yea, when they had made a molten calf, the first assistant pastor doing a great job, he made a molten calf and said, this is thy God that brought thee up out of Egypt and has wrought a great provocation. A golden calf that they had to pick up and carry, a golden calf that they couldn't move around by himself, couldn't talk, couldn't hear, couldn't do anything. And yet they said, this is what brought us out of Egypt. This is what brought us out of bondage. And we laugh and we say, that's stupid. Guess what? That's us. Because what did we say sometimes when we do something right? We go, yeah, that's in me. That's me. Yeah. You just made a golden calf out of yourself. Oh, boy. Because you just had that take the place of God. Yet you, Lord, in your manifold mercies, forsook us them not in the wilderness, left them in the wilderness to die. The pillar of the cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way wherein they should go. But you gave them thy good spirit. Notice he says it's his good spirit. It's not just the Holy Spirit. He's good. And Jesus said there's only one good to the rich young ruler. Remember he came to them and he said, why do you call me good? There's only one that's good. That's God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three in one. You gave us them also thy good spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not thy manna from their mouth and gave them water for their thirst. Yet 40 years did you sustain them in the wilderness. How many years have we been in the wilderness? Most of us have been a few more than 40. And yet he's been with us the whole time, hasn't he? So they lacked nothing. There was nothing that they lacked. We sit here and complain because we don't have the latest technology. We don't have the latest thing in our pockets that tells us our very thoughts. We don't have all of that stuff, and we start complaining. He goes, I haven't forsaken you all the years that I've been with you. That technology hasn't been with you that many years. What did you do before that? How did you make it through? Oh. You didn't have GPS on your phone, and yet I got you to the very places that you needed to be. How did you get there without that GPS? It was me. Your clothes waxed not old, and your feet swelled not. A lot of us would be thankful if our feet wouldn't swell anymore. Our knees, our feet, our backs, if they wouldn't swell. Moreover, you gave us them kingdoms and nations, and you did divide them into corners so that they possessed the land of Sihon and the land of the king of Heshbon and the land of Og, king of Bashan. Their children also multiplied thou as the stars of heaven, and broughtest them into the land, and concerning them which thou hast promised to their fathers that they should go in to possess it. He brought them in, even though it took them a long time, he brought them in just like he said he was going to. So that the children went in and possessed the land, and you subduest before them the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, and gave them into their hands with their kings and the mighty people of the land, that they might do with them as they would. And they took strong cities, cities that they shouldn't have been able to defeat, cities that were stronger than they were, things, addictions in their life that were stronger than our own self-will is. And yet, who broke those chains and who delivered us from those things? It was God. It wasn't our strength. It was His. He went in before Him and did that. And possessed houses full of goods, wells digged, and vineyards and olive yards, and fruit trees in abundance, so that they did eat and they were filled and became fat and delighted in themselves in thy great goodness. Delight yourself in the things of the Lord. Nevertheless, they were disobedient. Do you notice a pattern here? Like everything's good and then we'd start doing stupid stuff. and then we go back and we repent and we go back and we do good and then we mess up and we go back. And what a cycle. And just think, if God wasn't in the midst, we think it's bad that we keep doing that. But what if God wasn't even in the midst? We'd only have one plan, destruction. How wonderful is that? There's no hope in that. Nevertheless, they were disobedient, rebelled against thee, and cast thy law behind their backs, and slew thy prophets, which testified to them to turn them to thee, and they wrought great provocations. The people that God sent to them, they killed. How many people did we kill when they tried to tell us about Jesus? You need to get saved. Go away from me. I don't want to talk to you. You want to go to church? Get away from me. I'm too busy. What are you busy with? I'm sleeping. Oh, we killed the prophets just like they did. Therefore, thou delivered them into the hand of their enemies who vexed them. And we got delivered in our days before Christ into the hand of our enemy who wanted to vex us and destroy us. And in the time of their trouble, when they cried unto you, you heard them from heaven. And according to your manifold mercies, you gave them saviors who saved them out of the hand of their enemies. But after they had rest, they did evil again before thee. Here's the cycle again. Therefore leftest thou them in the hand of their enemies, so that they had dominion over them. Yet when they returned and cried unto thee, you heard them from heaven, and many times did you deliver them according to your mercies. Can you count how many times God has delivered you from your enemies? Oh, and how thankful ought we to be. And our thankfulness is going to show by the way that we just continue to walk with Him and not go back to our enemies and let them take over. In verse 29, and this is a long chapter, but it's really a good one here, so we'll just get through it. And you testified against them that you mightest bring them again into your law, yet they dealt proudly and hearkened not to your commandments, but sinned against your judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. And withdrew the shoulder and hardened their neck and would not hear. Yet many years did thou forbear them and testified against them by thy spirit and thy prophets. Yet they would not give ear. Therefore you gave them thou into the hand of the people of the lands. Nevertheless, for your great mercy's sake, you did not utterly consume them, nor forsake them, for you are a gracious and a merciful God. Right back in verse 17 says the same thing. He's gracious and merciful and long-suffering with us. And aren't you thankful for that? Now therefore, our God, in this from verse 6, all the way through to the end of the chapter is just one long prayer. It's the longest prayer in Scripture. And this is what they're crying out. They're rehearsing their history of what they've done as they remember all the things that have taken place. And as I was reading over this the past couple of weeks, just looking at it, I just wondered, Billy, can you write your history down like they're writing their history? And pretty much I could. I heard God. He heard me. Everything was great. I rebelled. I went the other way. But God was long-suffering with me and kept coming after me and kept looking for me and kept seeking me out. Your great mercy's sake, you didn't leave them or forsake them. You're a gracious and a merciful God. Now therefore, our God, the great and mighty and the terrible God, or the awesome God, who keep His covenant and mercy, let not all the trouble seem little before thee. that hath come upon us, and our kings and our princes and our priests and our prophets and on our fathers and on all the people. In other words, everybody that was involved since the time of the kings of Assyria unto this day. It didn't matter if they were a priest, a king, just a common person. The Lord did it for all of them. We keep talking in this land about being all-inclusive. God's all-inclusive. He loves everybody. We're particular. We profile, even though we say we can't profile. We do profile. I don't like them. I don't like the looks of them. I'd rather not sit next to them. I'll go on the other side of the church and sit next to somebody else. Even though you bought and paid for that chair that you're sitting in, and you want that chair every Sunday when you come in, if somebody else is sitting there and you don't like the looks of them, where are you going to go? Other side. I'm mad at my husband today. I'm going to the other side of the house. I'm going to sit out there. Oh, you think you got something? I'm going outside. I'll mow the lawn for the 30th time today. I'll show you. Aren't we good? Oh my goodness. Howbeit God, they say in verse 33, you are just in all that you brought upon us. Look at where they finally come to. They finally come to the place of saying, God, you're just in everything that you've done to us. How many people in America say that? Not too many. I used to be in the prison ministry years and years ago when they were open, when Arthur Shawcross was around. That's the time that I was in the jails, in working in the jails. And you know how many guys said that they didn't deserve to be there? 99.9%. Pray that I get out of here because I don't deserve to be here. And of course, I couldn't pray that because I knew better. Because I deserve to be there. It's just that I didn't get caught. They got caught. And that's just the mercy of the Lord to catch them before they destroyed themselves and to give them another chance to come to salvation. Oh. And yet these people finally say, just like you and I should be saying, Lord, I deserve everything I got because I was rotten. I don't deserve to be loved by a wonderful wife. I deserve to get shot. I don't deserve to have forgiveness from you. I deserve to go to hell. And yet God in his mercy and in his grace says, yes, you do deserve it, but I'm going to pay the price for you. And I'm going to bring you out of that into a better place. And the people are finally saying that. Can you imagine God in heaven just, oh, yeah. Here we go. You're just in all that you brought upon us, for you have done right, but we have done wickedly. Oh. Couldn't teach that in the schools today, could we? Neither have our kings, our princes, our priests, our fathers kept thy law, nor hearkened unto your commandments and your testimonies wherewith you did testify against them, for they have not served you in their kingdom. And in your great goodness that you gave them, notice his goodness that he gave, not that his goodness that we deserve, his goodness that he gave in spite of us. And in the large and the fat land which you gave before them, neither turned they away from their wicked works. Behold, we are servants this day, and for the land that thou gavest unto our fathers to eat the fruit thereof and the good thereof, behold, we're servants in it. We're the ones, we are not the master. We are the servants. We're here to serve him. And it yieldeth much increase unto the kings whom thou hast set over us because of our sins. And do you think that we have the leadership in our world today because of what we've done? Oh, yeah. We deserve worse. It's only by his grace that everything is still held together. What would the world do? We'd blow each other up. Even in Scripture, it tells us in the last days that the Lord's going to shorten the days because otherwise everybody would kill each other. That's mercy. I hate to tell you, I don't know if I'd have that mercy. But God does. And we thank him for it. They also have dominion over our bodies and over our cattle at their pleasure. And we are in great distress. They're in great distress because they're realizing the awfulness of their sin and the awfulness of their condition of their hearts. Jeremiah says that our hearts are desperately wicked above all things. Help! Our hearts are wicked. I know your hearts are wicked. I drive on the same expressway you guys do. The idiots out there are getting worse, and we're part of it. Our hearts are wicked. Who can help us? The guy driving next to you that's going to cut you off in 4 minutes? No. The God who's above us. Who do you think has kept you safe in your cars all these years? It wasn't your good driving. It was His good grace. And only His good grace. I love it. Everybody's pointing at each other and saying, yeah, you're like that. It's not me. It's you. You're driving terrible. I'm driving well. And because of all this, we make a sure covenant and write it, and our princes and the Levites and the priests seal it unto this day. Because of all that, we're going to make a covenant with you, Lord. And we're going to write it down and we're going to seal it. And maybe today we need to be in that place where, Lord, I just want to tell you that everything that you've done to me, everything that's come my way, I've deserved. I haven't deserved your grace, but I've deserved all the judgments that have come against me. But Lord, thank you for your mercy. That now I have a hope of heaven. I don't have a hope of hell for eternity. That because of what you've done, I'm going to get heaven. You're going to give it. And it's interesting, as you look through this and you look at the history that's gone on, that they start seeing those things and start pronouncing those things, that all the way through, he's just given them all of their books while they've prayed. Can you imagine? As you look from verses 6 to 8, he's talking about Genesis. In verses 9 to 13, he's talking about Exodus. As you look at the words that are there, the statements that are there, it's just the books of Genesis and Exodus that he's been writing about, that they've been praying about. Verse 14 speaks of Leviticus. Verses 15 to 20 speaks about Numbers. 21 to 23 speaks about Judges. Verses 30 to 37 speak about 1 Samuel all the way through 2 Chronicles. Amazing. The history that's just come there, as God looks over all of history and sees it all and remembers it all, they're just being reminded by God what they've done. So every age is going to go through all those books. Your age, you were placed in this world. We sinned. Genesis, Exodus, he brings us out of bondage. That's our Exodus. Out of bondage into the promised land, heading towards it. Being pilgrims and sojourners, we see the law in Leviticus. We see all the judgments that have come through all the way through those books. We have the same things going on in our lives that they did then. Can we write the same history that they wrote? I'm sure we can as we look back and see. But aren't you glad there's an end, that we don't have to keep going through that cycle? Oh, I will be so thankful when we're in a place where there's no more sin. And no more sorrow. And because of that, there's going to be no more tears. Lord, I failed you once again. I'm so sorry, Lord. You've loved me more than anybody's ever loved me. And I failed you. We're going to be before the great lawgiver. But we're also going to be before the one who's loved us more than anybody in this world ever could. And ever will. We're going to be before our God. And in that place where we're just rejoicing in all that he's done. Oh, we have such a future. But today, while we're still here, may we just not go back through those Leviticus times and those Numbers times and all those other issues that we have to go through. And maybe today you're just sitting in that place where you're just feeling unworthy because you know how bad you are. There's a God who loves you, who wants you to know his forgiveness so that you can just love him more. Just sit before him, take some time. Just know his presence. We're going to take communion. And so just think about those things as you go through and just to remember what he's already done. And that's why we take communion, to remember what he's done for us. That he's not here to judge us. He's here to forgive us and to bring life to us. Thank you. And to bring us to a place where we can walk in that truth. So just think about your past. Think about your Genesis time, your Exodus time, all the way through the times where he showed forgiveness to you and love to you so that you can be free. And just sit before him for a couple of seconds and just think about those things and just realize the great grace that he had, because he didn't smoke us. He didn't get rid of us. Instead, he forgave us. The Lord had me in the Gospel of John this morning when I was reading and just seeking him. he says in chapter 6, verse 29, he says, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, because we all want to do good works. He says, this is the work of God, that you believe on him who he has sent. And they said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou? We always want a sign, don't we? Prove it, Lord. Show us a sign that we may see and believe thee. What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life into the world. Then they said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Amazing. We want to go back to that times in Exodus where we see all of that. And he said, I'm the bread of heaven that's come down to you. You partake of me, and you'll never be hungry again for anything to satisfy you. You'll never be thirsty again to be refreshed in something. Just trust me. Believe on me. And we hold in our hands these tokens just of remembrance, not that is the actual body and blood of Christ. These are tokens of remembrance, he says. But he says, partake of me. And we do it by faith, don't we? And yet if you have enough faith to believe that when you came into this church, you could sit down in that chair and it was going to hold you up. I hope nobody collapses right now. It would be real embarrassing. But if you have enough faith to believe that chair is going to hold you, do you have enough faith to believe that Jesus can get you through what you're going through right now? That he can get you through that dissatisfaction with your life? That he can get you through the remembrance of the abuse as a kid? The pain of being shunned by somebody that you loved? He's big enough. And so, Father, we come this morning holding on to these things and just remembering all that you've done for us. And Father, if we have faith enough to believe that you've given us these things to remember you, then Lord, we know that you want to give us enough faith to trust you with our day, to trust you with the times that we're in right now, to trust you with the condition, our physical condition, our mental condition, our emotional condition that we're in right now. We want to give those to you too. So, Father, thank you for giving us these things so that we can remember, so that we can understand, so that we can have this place of just trusting you in the midst of all these things, Lord. We thank you for these things of remembrance. May we partake them and just hold on to you and trust you in the midst, Lord. May they be a remembrance for us. And we just thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's partake. Isn't it great to know God is good and that he loves you?